Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. On this weekend show, we're focusing on an update on homelessness in Tuolumne County. We're pleased to be joined in studio by Raj Rambab. He is the executive director of ATCA, the Amador Tuolumne Community Action Agency, as well as Steve Boyack, who is Tuolumne County's assistant human services director. Mr. Boyack, during the last segment, as we were wrapping up, you were talking about some potential state funding that's out there on the horizon. Anything on the short term that you can talk about that the Board of Supervisors will be looking at soon?
Yes, so on September 18th, we will have an item before the Board of Supervisors to adopt a resolution to submit an application to the state for a homeless mental illness and outreach and treatment program. It's a $50 million program statewide. It's a non-competitive program. There's $100,000 available to Tuolumne County, and it is to expand outreach and treatment to people experiencing homelessness and living with a mental illness.
You know, what kind of programs could that go towards then? Are there certain things locally here in the community?
There are. People that are in direct need for either primarily short-term homelessness type of issues, we have the ability to reach out to landlords. We have the ability to reach out to those that own and operate hotels in the area to be able to provide some temporary housing assistance to folks that are in crisis.
Do you have any statistics you can share in regards to current housing support that's being offered in the county?
I do. So in behavioral health over the last fiscal year, so these are 17-18 statistics, we were able to support 35 individuals that were in crisis that came to behavioral health, both through our full service partnership program and through our crisis assistance program, our CAPE program at behavioral health.
I'll turn over to Raj Rambab. We've heard a lot about state funding that could be available and the current level of need and assistance. Anything else to add on those topics that have been addressed?
Nothing particularly that. I mean, Steve did a phenomenal job of covering all that ground. And the, you know, the various funding programs, of course, all have different rules with the applications. But I think we're well equipped. I think we'll be in good shape as applicants.
You know, over looking ahead over this next year, you know, we talked about, you know, the Sonora City Council, the task force that was put together, you know, looked at a variety of different things. Where do you think things will go here over the coming year?
Well, I think a lot of it just depends on how well we're able to position ourselves to apply for these funds. And if we get these funds, we'll see things happen rapidly. If we somehow miss the mark and don't get these funds, we're kind of going to be stuck where we are indefinitely, because it takes significant money to do construction projects or rehabilitation projects, and that's coming available. So it's a golden opportunity. I believe we've got the pieces in place to be strong applicants, but these are primarily competitive grants. So there's no telling on how much or if we will get funded.
Is one of the challenges and goals looking ahead, you know, if there was just an easy solution, all communities would do it, but getting kind of the community to buy in and support, you know, the end solution that the community can kind of go forward with?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, I wonder, you know, if you know, lottery-sized funds dropped into our lap with the charge, address homelessness, I think there'd still be some, you know, difficulties, because lots of people, and just like homelessness doesn't have a single cause, homeless responses don't have a single response. Everyone's got a different idea on what should happen, how it should happen, who ought to be helped, who's deserving of help, who isn't deserving of help. So even if money dropped into our lap, there would need to be a lot of conversation. Now, with these grant programs, you know, they're pretty prescribed as to what's possible. The rules on how to apply and formats, et cetera, are pretty prescribed. And once an application is submitted, a lot of those decisions on who, what, when, where, how have been made in the application. So if it's funded, we know how the money ought to be spent, and are obliged to spend it according to our application. So in a way, if these applications are won, or these grants are won or earned, it can move pretty quickly and be implemented as quickly as the projects can be built or rehabilitated or started.
You know, what are some of locally kind of the biggest risk factors or things that can kind of lead to homelessness in the community?
Housing costs are huge, and housing availability is huge. We hear stories of folks, we get calls from people who are professional folks relocating to our area, and they've been struggling to find housing and heard we might be able to help and call us. These are folks that aren't struggling for income. They have decent credit, and they're having a hard time finding housing. So contrast that with somebody who's been a marginal earner for some time, or has had a mental health or a physical health issue and has been out of work for a while, or unable to work full time, but wants to work, wants to pay rent, wants to pay taxes. That person's really up a creek. So, the housing crunch, I would say, is the single biggest factor in the mix. But I also want to reserve some headspace and heart space for folks who are pretty unable to work, folks with severe mental health issues or chronic health issues, and they're just not able to work no real fault of their own, so to speak. And we need to have provisions to care for those folks as well.
Are there some other kind of common misconceptions that you see, you know, being in this field that people may have about homelessness?
Yeah, the rhetoric, there's two that I like pointing out. One is, well, people want to be homeless. There are folks who claim that. My response is, sometimes when you're in a situation, claiming your destiny might be the only power you have. So to say, yeah, I'm choosing to be this way, kind of takes some of the sting out of maybe possible failures or repeated attempts that haven't worked, obstacles, roadblocks, burnt bridges, you have it. So I think there's a segment of folks who make that claim just because it's a little bit, you can do that with a bit of pride. You can make that claim with a bit of pride. And then I think there's a few people, you know, few and far between, that genuinely, I want to live outside. I like living by my wits. I can manage. I don't have a lot of obligations or people that I have to answer to. So I think those folks are out there as well. But by and large, most people want to be engaged members of the community in what, quote unquote, normal ways. They want to have social circles. They want to go out and eat occasionally, be seen as members, upstanding members of the community. I think most people fall into that category, and for whatever reason, the reasons are numerous, they're just not able to at the moment. And doing our best to help them put the pieces back together to where they can get back to get to that place, I think is important. The other piece is, the homeless problem isn't our problem. It comes from elsewhere. People are getting bussed in. Our law enforcement partners will refute that. They say, well, that's really not the case. We as providers know that's not the case because a lot of folks grew up here or have lived here a significant amount of time. And they're our own. For whatever reason, partly them, partly us, things didn't work out. And we have a chance to try to make it right.
Do you notice a segment of the population, too, that maybe, you know, working in the community, people you see every day that others might not realize they are homeless?
Oh, sure. You know, there's folks that bag your groceries, that do some yard work in the neighborhood. Hardworking, good parents, kind people who are in our shelters. The primary phase of homelessness is one that you would not stereotypically recognize. And then a huge number that is growing are children. So if you have kids in school, your kids are going to school with kids who don't have housing. And our seniors, our grandmas and grandpas, there's an alarmingly rapidly growing rate of our elders who are experiencing housing insecurity and homelessness. We had, I guess you could, a lot of folks dubbed her the saint at our shelter who was in her 80s and had to find work to put pieces back together. So it's a pervasive problem, and no demographic is off limits right now.
Need to take one more break. We're getting an update on the issue of homelessness in the Motherlode on this weekend's Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host, joined in studio by Tuolumne County's Assistant Human Services Director, Steve Boyack, as well as ATCA's Executive Director, Raj Rambab. I'm BJ Hansen. We'll be back with our final segment of Motherlode Views in just a minute.